one and only Digo Double G.
Snoop Dogg. Snoop
Dogg. Da-da-da-da-da. You know I'm hopping with the D-R-E.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know the West Coast is back for all you suckers.
What? Suckers.
So put something in there.
Place it up.
Put it in
there.
Yeah. Suck, Snoop.
Top dog, fight them all. Yeah, I'm burning it up. DPGC, you should be turning it up. CPT, LBC, yeah, we hooking back up. And when they bang this in the club, baby, you got to get up. Cuz homies, thug homies, yeah, they giving it up. Low life, yo life, boy, we living it up. Taking chances while we dancing in the party for show. Slip my girl a f- when she crept in the back door. Chickens looking at me strange, but you know I don't care. Step up in this mother, just a swank in my hair. Trick, quit talking, crip walk if you down with the set. Take a f- put some grip and take this f- on the jet. Out of town, put it down for the father of rap. And if you happen to get cracked, trick, shut your trap. Come back, get back, that's the part of success. If you believe in the S, you'll be relieving your stress.
Holy Jesus Christ. It's been a hot minute. If you want to call, what, 4 months? 4 months? July, something August, like September, that. October, November.
Yeah.
Four and a half months of waiting, but somehow, some way, because of many, many behesting as a result of friends, family, and, I don't know, possibly foes alike. We're the real thing, and we're back exclusively on morelikeradio.com. My name is Mark Nixon. More importantly, I am here with my co-host, Chris Wetton.
Will you go to lunch?
No, Kevin Spacey, I will not go to lunch. For you.
What's going to happen at lunch?
I don't know what's going to happen at lunch, but it's not going to be under 30 minutes or less. As always, you can follow us on the Twitter sphere, the real thing, TheRealThingMLR. You can also follow us on Facebook. And I wasn't kidding when we were saying that it was a very, very long time. The last show that we had, late June...
Baby Driver.
...was right before you left to go on vacation...
To fucking Italy.
To Italy, that's right. So we reviewed that, we reviewed a whole bunch of other stuff.
A long time ago.
Yeah, and we're not apologetic. I'm going to be the first one to say it because, Chris, you got shit that you have to take care of because you are a father.
I am a father.
And you are... In a profession that is very rigid when it comes to scheduling, and so shit happens, man.
Shit happens. You know, we don't have to excuse it. Like, there was no... It just, for whatever reason, it didn't work out. Like, I went to Italy, and then I came back, and then I've been on another vacation. I've been on a cruise since then. You went on a vacation.
Yeah.
You know, like, weekdays are not good for me. Weekends are not good for you. It's sometimes hard for us. We got out of the rhythm there for a while, but we're back in the rhythm. We're using the rhythm method.
Rhythm is going to get us.
Rhythm's
going
to get us.
Tonight.
We're part of a rhythm nation.
Yes. Miami Sound Machine is all on board, as well as Janet. So, well, shit. How about this? There's no point in going through... Well, I mean, the big box office winner is Thor Ragnarok this past weekend. Everybody should know that. But if they don't, now they do. Second weekend in a row. However, I kind of want to go back to review... Some. Not all, but some of the...
Like a rapid fire of what we've seen throughout the summer?
Yeah, you know, like, you know, people are very attuned to what our opinions are, and people can make their own opinions about this show or that TV or that television... shit, man, I've seen television show and TV. This is how great I am on the radio right now. Movies as well.
Why don't we go back through and we'll just sort of, like... Start with our list and just kind of rapid fire go through what we saw since the last time we talked.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So let's start off with you. So
I think one of the first movies I saw when I came back from Italy in July was Spider-Man. I saw the new Spider-Man.
Spider-Man Homecoming.
Homecoming, yeah. Did you ever watch it?
Tom Holland,
Michael Keaton.
You know, it's in my hard drive and I had every intention of watching it. I never got around to it.
I gotta say, I liked it. It's still, like, if I made a top 10 list of the year right now, Spider-Man would possibly show up on there.
Really?
Yeah, just because...
You're not a comic book guy either.
I'm not a comic book guy at all, and we'll get into that more, I'm sure, as this show goes on.
Sure.
But, so it's one of the things I liked about Spider-Man is it doesn't really feel like the typical, like, big-budget action superhero movie. It's not a lot of, like... destroying of cities and stuff like that. There's all these kind of unique set pieces for the action sequences and some really good character development and good actors, Tom Holland, but especially Michael Keaton. Keaton is, and I think we talked about this before the movie came out, like, you know, Spider-Man, who gives a shit? We've seen six things in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
But Michael Keaton, now you have my attention.
Right. Yeah. And but there was also the funny meme that was going around whenever it was also discovered that Robert Downey Jr. was going to reprise his role as Iron Man, and it was going to be just, hey, it's Iron Man coming, but then, Spider-Man, Tom Holland, he's swinging around everywhere.
Iron Man, including Spider-Man.
Yeah, so there's just a bunch of Iron Man.
Honestly, the movie is good in its own right. Robert Downey Jr. playing that part is just kind of icing on the cake.
Gotcha.
So, you know, that was a good one.
Okay.
I think you would possibly enjoy it. Okay. What did you see around that time?
Dunkirk.
Dunkirk. I saw Dunkirk also. We both talked about Dunkirk. We could not have been more excited about Dunkirk. We're both big Chris Nolan fans.
Yeah.
I don't think we've talked about this, but I can tell from your tone already that maybe we kind of fall in the same boat here, no pun intended.
I don't know, man. I'm very, very cognizant of directors, and if they start giving me like a losing streak or something where I don't feel like, really, this is the best that you've got, you invest so much time, Christopher Nolan, in making sure that everything is as realistic as possible. You're not using CGI doubles.
Yeah.
You're trying to be as historically accurate as possible. Couple little quibbles here and there. I don't know. It was just...
Didn't it feel like a movie that was made for other directors? A movie that was made for Steven Spielberg to enjoy, but no one else can enjoy. Like, the other filmmakers can appreciate the painstaking detail and work he put into it.
Sure.
And maybe the guys, the survivors of that actual Dunkirk event. Other than that, it's kind of a dull movie, is it not? I thought it was dull.
I feel like, well, first of all, here are my two main quibbles about it.
I got a big one.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, how about this?
I'm just talking about my penis. Yeah. I don't know if I'm talking about quibbles in the movie.
On the real thing, I'm more like radio.com. Welcome back. So, you had this problem. It was a noted problem with Dark Knight Rises. And you have Tom Hardy, who played Bane. Why can't I understand you?
I know.
In any fucking movie that you direct,
I know,
with him in it.
Let's cover his face up and his mouth again when he's talking.
As if we didn't have enough to worry about, and I'm talking like this, Jason Chichula is going to have my ass, and he would definitely have yours if you're talking in such a way. But the other thing, too, is that I know that there was, a lot of fanfare about, you know, the boats coming across to save the remaining soldiers and everything else. There was a large segment of boats that were already there. There was a large segment of other military
vessels.
Yeah, besides the British Army.
Sure. Like,
yeah, and that whole thing. But I almost feel like it was kind of manipulative by Chris Nolan. I don't know what... I'm going to look this up. But there was an audio thing that he did. Audio illusion. There it is. What it's called, the Shepherd Tone. The Shepherd Tone, an auditory illusion that made the score by Hans Zimmer.
Oh, yes.
Where
it just
kind of like goes,
yes, this droning, humming kind of thing. Yeah.
I'm on the fucking edge of my seat, not because of what's going on. I mean,
think that's what's intended, though. It's meant to give you this unnerving feeling, but it feels like
it's a
gimmick.
Cheat.
It's a gimmick.
No, it's a fucking cheat. Yeah. I mean, like, if you wanna swell and everything all the time, well, not even all the time, because that's what it felt like in this movie.
Yeah.
There's
also a time structure gimmick going on, which he's always been into time structure gimmicks from the beginning with Memento, obviously, and then he did it sort of to a lesser degree in The Prestige. He definitely did it in Interstellar.
Right.
And he does it again in this movie. Inception with Leonardo DiCaprio. There's a major time structure stuff going on there. It's like a story within a story and levels inside levels and things like that. So he's interested in that kind of stuff.
Right.
I didn't feel like it added anything to this movie because you're basically, you know, you've got the C story, which is taking, you know, a week or whatever, and then you've got the other story, which is taking a day, and then another story in the air with Tom Hardy, which is taking, like, an hour or something like that. So
they're
all playing out simultaneously over a 2.5-hour movie or whatever it is, but they're taking different levels of time. I didn't think that added anything. As a matter of fact, I thought if you would have put it in chronological order, like in real-time order, it might have played better.
If he would have switched it up, whatever time sequence he wanted, whether it was an hour, a day, or a week, I wouldn't have noticed.
Would not have noticed. And, As a matter of fact, it's like, if you hadn't told me at the beginning that that was the case, I wouldn't have known it either, and it would not have made a difference.
Right. And I will never watch this movie again.
I'll never see it again, probably. But, I can't say that. Because, you know, you did have to admire some of the sort of showmanship and stuff, like what I'm talking about. You know, I mean, like,
sure.
You do have to admire the kind of painstaking work that this guy obviously put into this movie, but the bottom line is not a very entertaining piece of film.
Well, look,
in my opinion,
same thing would apply with my opinion in regards to Interstellar. No. I try.
Can't go there with
you. I know.
Love Interstellar.
Oh well, you love it, and I'm like, oh, God, there's so many
brilliant,
so much goddamn crying. But
there's a lot of crying. Yeah.
But I do appreciate the science behind that particular movie. And it's not to say that, you know, I'm never going to watch another Chris Nolan movie fan again, but I'm kind of tepid last two movies that he's directed.
One more, my biggest complaint about the movie, and then we can move on to
sure.
the next movie that we're talking about.
Okay.
How many different British actors can you get that look basically exactly alike? Like, that was my big problem. And
yeah.
I'm joking, but I'm also not joking, because I truly could not tell the difference between a couple of those actors.
Yeah.
I mean, literally three of them, I could not discern the difference between the characters.
Right.
I don't know which one's which. Is that the guy that was on the beach earlier and then got into the ship, or is that the other guy that he met on the ship? I truly do not know. They got three different actors here who were indistinguishable. It's just like pasty-faced British dude with a comb over.
Number one, number two, and number three. I do remember that Harry Styles was the asshole-ish British soldier that was, you know, kind of like getting things moved along and all that sort of thing. Which, again, credit where credit is due. Harry Styles, part of one of the biggest bands, biggest boy bands in the entire world, One Direction.
Yeah.
And
sure.
Would have never known.
Wouldn't have known. And maybe that's what was intended. Maybe
sure.
the actor and the director wanted him to sink in the background. So then it's like, why get him? I don't know, because he's indistinguishable from everyone else in this movie. Either way.
Yeah.
I gotta say, I'm the same way. However, I feel like one day it's on cable. I might start watching it again. It might be the kind of movie that you have to watch more than once to appreciate. There's been movies like that in the past. Like, I remember watching Master and Commander, the Russell Crowe movie.
Oh, yeah.
I remember the first time seeing it and being like, God, who fucking cares? And then it's the kind of movie that you watch on cable again and again and again. These kind of movies exist, and then you're just sort of appreciating them for what they are
sure.
over the years.
Sure.
I can see this movie, Dunkirk, maybe being that way. Maybe not. I don't know.
Sure.
I don't know. I walked out of it underwhelmed.
Food for thought. Dunkirk, your number five top moneymaker for the summer, made $188 million
mm-hmm.
domestic. Spider-Man Homecoming was number three at $334 million.
I believe I predicted that Dunkirk would be a huge money loser, by the way, too, and I could not have been more wrong on that one. I remember being baffled by that. Like, I'm happy about that. I'm happy the movie made money. I'm happy for Chris Nolan, and I'm happy for adult movies that don't contain, you know, got fucking Chris Evans in tights.
This is exactly what I'm happy about, and I'm glad you brought that up. Number five. Guess what was number six?
Of number six money earning movie of the summer?
Yes.
Ah, shit. I don't. It's got to be a comic book movie from the way you framed that.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, maybe not.
Who gives a shit? Number seven was Cars 3. Number eight was War for the Planet of the Apes, which, again, I have downloaded, but I don't care.
I got 20 minutes into that fucking turd and turned it off.
Okay, then I'm not going to watch it.
Seriously, like, wow, that series has jumped the shark.
Number nine.
Jumped the gorilla.
Transformers, the last movie that we hopefully have to talk about with when it comes to Transformers.
No fucking way. We'll get more of those.
And then Girls Trip. Girls Trip, which was a low-budget African-American comedy. With
huge hit.
Absolutely huge.
Huge, like legs on this thing. As a matter of fact, Tiffany Haddish whatever the fuck her name is from that movie, just hosted SNL this past weekend. She came on, I'm like, who the fuck is this?
Yeah.
It was that movie that I have no game in. I have no dog in that fight, and so I never saw it, but apparently it was a massive hit, and it made a shitload of money, and everybody loved it.
And you're number one. Who would have predicted? Who would have predicted?
Number one,
mm-hmm.
moneymaker of the summer.
Yep.
Was it Wonder Woman?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
The only $400 million moneymaker, 412.
Yet.
Well, Well, wait.
Well, I guess of the summer.
Yeah, the summer,
that's
yeah.
It. Yeah,
no, summer's
of,
it.
Of the year, not necessarily. But
Second was Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 with 389.
Which I fell asleep in, but
yes,
blame
you
it
did.
On the Chardonnay.
I was having too many wine coolers.
It was Chardonnay. It was not wine cooler.
What's
Come
the
on.
Difference? Who gives a shit? You know what? Wait.
Wine coolers taste like, you know.
Now, hold on a second.
Fuzzy peach or whatever, you know.
Hold on. I read something today. I'm going to give props where props are due to Tristan, who is Damon, the American Dream's girlfriend. She brought up a good point. Some article or whatever she was talking about. It was talking about how the drinking culture is absolutely sexist. You want to know why? Because it's like the girl drink skit from Kids in the Hall. Oh, it tastes like candy, blah, blah, blah. Like, who gives a fuck? I'll pound whatever the fuck I want. Martinis, appletini, shots of whiskey. Who gives a shit?
There's no better example of that than when you go on a cruise, because you're literally like, you know, like, I'm going to have a rum runner, and then next up I'm going to have a martini, and then I'm going to have a shot of Jameson, and then please bring me a Zima.
Jesus Christ.
You know, like, whatever. It's like,
were you in the bathroom like half the time too, just like your stomach is doing jumping jacks while you're drinking all this liquor?
That's fine, man.
Yeah?
Fine.
You're more Iron Man than Robert Downey Jr., so
that's right.
Good on you. The next movie that was seen by me, Atomic Blonde.
Yeah. This was like John Chick.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. And it was all right.
Yeah.
It was
just
okay.
Like John Wick.
It was okay. No, it was like, I'll tell you my quick capsule review. I was bored for half the movie, but then I realized that I should have been bored half the movie because it's a spy movie.
Sure.
At its very base level. And Charlize Theron, she's super kick-ass, no pun intended. She's also surrounded by a bunch of people. John Goodman's in it. You've got James McAvoy, who just came off of starring in his own, you know, hit movie Split earlier.
Yep.
Yeah, and a bunch of other people that you've seen before, but you can't, you know, name them off the top of your head, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
However, second half ramped it up, and strangely, I would think coincidentally enough, it happens right after the very hot lesbian scene, which I'm all about, because as Howard Stern says, lesbians equal ratings. It's okay. It's a good rental. I would say it's a good rental.
Coming out on Blu-ray like this week, I believe.
Right now. And if for nothing else, I will say that kick-ass soundtrack. Check it out.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because it's all just, you know, like late 80s, like Euro progressive, like fucking like dance hall shit. Like,
I'm into that.
Dude, I'm all about that shit. It's like shit that you would listen to over at the Castle in Ybor. You know what I'm saying?
Perfect.
Yeah.
So this is another, like, watch it on cable, no problem. No problem. No, should not necessarily have gone to the theater and see it. Like,
yeah, and the fight sequences are really choreographed well. It's the fight. I either want to say it's the fight choreographer or someone that was high up in the original Deadpool, and this director is going to be directing the new Deadpool movie with Josh Brolin as Cable.
Right.
And so it was good.
Worth
the rental for sure. So.
Next one I saw was The Big Sick. Did you see The Big Sick?
No. I know who's in it, but tell us about it.
Yeah, this is the... it's kind of an independent movie comedy with Kumail Nanjiani.
Okay.
Who also hosted SNL a few weeks back.
Okay.
This is a guy... He's on...
Silicon Valley.
Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
Yeah, most people know him from Silicon Valley. And he's great on that show, and he's great in this movie, which is about a Pakistani family and the son of these Pakistani immigrants who's like looking for love in the United States.
Sure.
In the New York area, falls in love with an American girl, and his family doesn't approve.
I was going to say, because he's probably not, like, there wouldn't be a story if he didn't find a Pakistani woman to be his beau.
Okay. Well, they're constantly trying to find him Pakistani women and hooking up with him, and and then eventually falls in love with this American girl, and she gets sick, and then the plot unfolds. Her parents, Holly Hunter and Ray Romano, show up, and they have this sort of cultural war. It's comedy, but it's not overly comedic. It turns into quite a drama at a certain point. It takes a few twists and turns that you don't see coming. It's one of the better reviewed movies of the year, and I loved it. My wife was nuts about it. Like, every time I turn around, she's telling someone to watch this movie. It's really funny, and, I mean, you could do a lot worse. you know, I mean, the writing is very original. It's pretty much based on his real story of meeting his wife, I think. As a matter of fact, they show pictures at the end of the movie of him and his real wife, who is an American, who's not Pakistani.
Yeah.
The movie's sort of based on a true story.
Okay, that's cool.
All directed by Michael Showalter from the state too, which is
really
yeah.
See, okay, wait, that whole group from the state though, they're so fucking talented.
They're all over the table. Yeah, they're all over the map.
David
Wayne.
Yeah, he's fucking directed like a bunch of other stuff. Michael Ian Black.
Yeah.
And Ken Marino.
A bunch of people. What's his name? Jim Dangle
from Reno 911.
Thomas Lennon. You see him all over the place. Like, yeah, everybody from that show went on to do something. Yeah.
That's crazy. That's great. Next one that I had seen, I don't know if you saw it, and I know that we were kind of hyping it up. I think we actually had called this movie like one of our more anticipated movies of the summer on The Real Thing on MoreLikeRadio.com. It Comes at Night.
Oh, yeah. I never did see it.
No?
Never did see it. I want to, but I never did.
I think this was one of the only horror movies that I saw this year. Yeah, and I actually waited until October to see it. And it's got, what the hell is his name? You've seen him, Joel Edgerton.
Joel Edgerton.
Yeah, he's the main guy, and it wasn't as good as I thought.
It was,
quick synopsis, it's where this family is huddled up in their own home. There is an unseen evil, whether it's biochemical, disease, undead or otherwise, but they're not allowed to go out at night. They run into this other family that they take in, and the plot thickens, as you old bard would say.
You like horror movies, but you are not like, you would not call yourself like a horror movie fanatic.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, no. I mean, you like a good horror movie, but it's not like you have a subscription to Splatter or anything like that.
And it's not as though I will continue not what, like, if anyone's got recommendations for me to watch, like, I have absolutely no problem watching. I know that you know, Brandon Peterson, he's big movie horror fan.
Brad Anderson watches a lot of horror movies.
Yeah, and you know, truth be told, I kind of got a little turned off when Saw came out, and then 9 movies later, shit, fucking 10th one came out, Jigsaw, like, they're rebooting it again.
There's a million of them. Saw, The Hostel, Wrong, you know, there's like 7 or 8 Wrong Turns. I mean, you remember Wrong Turn with Eliza Dushku?
Yeah.
I mean, like, fucking 8 of those. I mean,
that's a circle now, right? Because if you keep making Wrong Turns, you're just like, okay, anyway.
Yeah.
Might as well call it NASCAR. That's truly scary.
That's the Wrong Turn right there.
Yeah, so I'm watching this movie, and it's getting good, it's building up the tension, and then, I don't know, man, like, I'm trying to remember a movie where it just kind of ends, where it's like, that's it? You've got, not, like, no payoff. That was the big thing for me, is that, give me something, like, you...
Especially if it's a slow burn type movie.
When it comes to the anticipation of it all, like, there's gotta be some payoff, whether it's gory or not, but I didn't really feel like there was any of that sort of thing. I guess when it comes at night and the horror of it all, and we've seen this before in fairly recent horror releases coming out, is that the real horror is man itself, you know, the relationships or lack thereof, blah, blah, blah. But when it comes to everything else, like, eh. I was disappointed. I was disappointed.
Oh, that's a shame. Because, yeah, I do remember us both talking about sort of hyping that movie up. Preview was awesome.
Yeah.
Did look like kind of a unique horror movie.
Sure.
Yeah, but I heard other people say kind of the same thing that you're saying.
Gotcha.
Maybe I'll skip it.
Yeah, you should. Okay. I mean, if you're gonna, if I'm deleting the turd off my hard drive called War for the Planet of the Apes.
Oof,
if you skip,
please
it comes
do.
At,
yeah,
okay.
I'll skip it. Comes at Night. This is the time of year right now where there's just like too many good movies. Like, there's too much to see. I watched 2 movies today because there's just too much all over the internet. Like, I can't, I have no time to watch some bullshit though, that I'm gonna regret.
Right. You know? And speaking of which, we could just kind of fast forward because I think the next movie that both you and I had seen, and I definitely know that I saw this movie with my movie pass, the movie pass miracle of miracles, and it's a miracle for right now. $10 a month. Apparently you can see 1 movie a day. Per day, as long as it's not 3D or an IMAX.
Right.
And I'm basically... I guess we're giving a free plug to MoviePass, but it fucking works.
Okay,
so who gives a shit?
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah. But we saw the movie It.
Yeah, I saw it. I saw it.
I saw it too.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And here we go. I think this is where we're going to diverge.
Really?
Well, I know how strongly you felt about it because we were talking about it the other night when we were playing.
I feel poker. Like people for a long time, like we worked at Blockbuster. Remember they had the old miniseries It with yes. Tim Curry as Pennywise, and that was one of those that people would like. It was always rented out.
Right.
Like plenty of old movies might go 6-7 months without getting. No one comes in and rents Papillon for 8 months. Yeah. You know? But like. The It miniseries was one of those that people were always like, hey, you got that old miniseries It? Like, yeah, it's over there. So people love it. I never was nuts about it. I always thought, like, fucking Harry Anderson and John Ritter, like, this is a bunch of shitty actors that, like,
right.
that they could get to do a miniseries in 1992 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Not that good. I'm not that nuts about it at all. However, Tim Curry is Pennywise. Like, that's the best part of the 5-hour miniseries, or whatever it is, was just... You amass the 7 minutes of footage that you have Tim Curry, and that's the best part of the whole movie.
Oh, shit. You know, and let's go back. Speaking of Tim Curry, because I know that he's not in his best state right now. Like, he had a stroke fairly
he had a stroke.
Yeah, like 3 or 4 years ago and everything. But, man, shit. Fucking think about this. So, he's been Wadsworth and Clue. Yeah. He's been...
He was like Gary Oldman before Gary Oldman.
Motherfucking demon in
Darkness
Legend.
Darkness in Legend.
Yeah, he's...
he's Frankenfurter in
Rocky Horror
Picture Show.
Yeah, near and dear to my heart. And then he's in... He's always in these like really weird things that like, throwaway role, like, who gives a shit? But when he's in Muppet Treasure Island...
Dude, he's awesome in Muppet Treasure Island.
There you go! See, that's what I'm talking about, so...
I love him in Muppet Treasure Island. And then, you know, you can't forget Pennywise from that list. Like, I mean, you talk about, like, range of a guy from the 80s or whatever. Yeah, he was fucking fantastic. He was the best thing about that miniseries. He was great. The other part of the movie didn't work. I thought the new one, the one that just came out, I thought it was the exact opposite. I loved everything with the kids and with the human story that's being told there about this town and the abuse and the disappearance of these children and whatnot. The relationships between the children and their parents and the adults in the town. Everything about that worked. It was firing on all cylinders. And the movie would grind to a fucking halt every time Pennywise came on the screen.
Bill Skarsgård.
Not because of Bill Skarsgård, but yes, Bill Skarsgård plays him.
Yeah.
Not necessarily because of him. It just didn't seem... It was, like, incongruous to the rest of the story that was happening.
Okay.
That was one thing.
For those of us that don't know what incongruous means, including myself, because I'm dumb on the real thing and more like radio.com.
I may even be pronouncing it wrong.
No, you probably... Don't tell me that, because I'm thinking like, oh man, he's way smarter than I am. But
it doesn't fit. It doesn't fit.
Extemporate on it.
It just doesn't, like, you've got this sort of very real human story with a very real human problem, whether it's abuse or molestation or whatever these kids are dealing with. It's a little bit, it's actually kind of vague in the movie. They don't really get into, except in a few cases, like the details of what's happening with these children. They're all being sort of abused in one way or another.
Sure.
And then there's a greater abuse going on in the town and disappearance of these children. That part is very interesting. It's very, like, viscerally fascinating to any person.
Right.
Especially these days. And then you get into this, it's like this clown. And so it's like, okay, is the clown a metaphor for actual pedophilia and child murder? Or is there a fucking monster living in the sewer, biting kids' arms off?
Yeah.
It's unclear because he does bite a kid's arm off and pull him in the sewer and that kid goes missing. So,
Georgie.
But is that, this is like opening scene of the movie.
Yeah.
The one scene of the movie where I did think that Pennywise was kind of effective because it was just so jarring. But it's...
That one was the most jarring?
I thought that was the most jarring and effective use of Pennywise in the entire movie because you hadn't seen any of that before. You hadn't seen him bare those wicked fucking teeth and, you know, do anything creepy like that.
Yeah.
And then every time he did it there on in the rest of the movie, it was diminishing returns. Not to mention, okay, so Georgie, he kills right away, like bites his arm off and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
There's got to be 35, 40 other times throughout the rest of the movie where he's on top of a kid with his teeth out or whatever, and for whatever reason, the kid comes away unscathed.
Yeah.
And I kind of explain it towards the end, but not completely. It doesn't really make sense. It's unclear. Maybe I didn't read the book, and so maybe I need to, but I don't think I should. I think I should be able to just watch a movie and judge it on its own merits.
Right. I'm going to tell you right now, for nothing else, because I feel like I thought he was scary as shit. I really did. But, let me...
Awkward. Dancing and the voice.
But that's the other thing, too, is that...
Wiggling with severed hands.
I have to put... Yeah, right? I have to put context in it is that we saw it We saw it before... Oh, shit. I want to say it was before we left to go on our vacation. And we walk into a 3 o'clock matinee. Oh, we got our movie passes. It works. Blah, blah, blah. We are literally the only two people that are in the theater. Mm. So we get to sit... prime pole position. We're right in front of the theater. It's loud as fuck, by the way. I don't know if someone just, you know, here's the thing. Remember when you were working at AMC and you saw like there was like a handful of people or anything else, and you could time it just right, especially during horror movies and shit, where you like time in like, all right, it's time. It's like 45, 50 minutes in, and you like crank the volume ever so slightly just for like the fucking jump scares and shit. Like, I used to do that shit all the time. I know that you did too.
Yeah.
So, all kinds of shit like that. I feel like someone did that for us because we're like literally in the only, you know, seats that are visible from the booth. And that one part, the part that you were describing is very scary, but the one part with the projector where he like comes out and it looks like he's got like 16 fucking rows of teeth. It's just like, it's just like a flash. I'm surprised it didn't
have that. I agree. That was one of the other effective ones.
Yeah. So with all that being said, and he's not even in it for very long, but every time that he's in it, he's really, really just captivates your attention without fault.
Okay, but is he real or is he not real?
Doesn't matter. He's going to get nominated for Best Supporting Actor. I'm going to call it right now.
No fucking way.
I'm not saying that he's going to win. I'm just saying that he's probably going to get nominated.
No nomination. No fucking way.
No way? Are you sure about that?
Okay. I don't think so.
Okay, because here's the thing, is that that movie apparently wasn't supposed to make any money at all.
It made a lot of money.
It made a fuck ton of money, and that's where they start focusing on that shit now. That's the whole reason why they moved from 5 to 10. You're giving me grief and you're rolling your eyes. The way that he rolls his eyes, he's like rolling his eyes like this, I can do this whole thing.
But again,
sort of thing.
It's not the actor doing that. That's special effects.
No, that's him.
You could have put Dwayne The Rock Johnson in that part. You could have put him in the Pennywise costume.
Right.
And we all would have said the same things. The clown mask and the makeup and everything is creepy in the teeth. Like
That movie was a budget of $35 million. It has made $683 million.
Wow.
It will get nominated for something.
I think it will. They like that stuff.
And I think it's going to get nominated for Best Supporting Actor for Bill Skarsgård.
Oof, I don't know about that.
I'm calling it right now on The Real Thing on MoreLikeRadio.com.
All
right,
we'll see. We're going to have to make some Oscar predictions before the nominations
we're kind of getting close now.
We are getting close. Well, I mean, I think the nominations won't come out till like the end of January or the beginning of February or something like that. But we'll have to do a show where we make some bold predictions like that beforehand.
Yeah.
But all told, I got to say, I walked away from the movie liking the movie.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, I have some... like complaints about the Pennywise character being less and less effective as the movie goes on.
Okay.
Having said that, I would totally recommend that people watch it. It's worth watching. It's a well-made, well-constructed horror movie. And again, the part that works best is the human story, and that certainly aids the horror part. I'm hoping that in the sequel we do get some answers to that. Like, maybe it's just my brain that's bothered by, is this shit real? Is it not real? Is it a metaphor?
Yeah.
I'm sure someone can answer that question for me. Because the movie didn't. I didn't think it was clear. Okay. Did you?
I don't know.
It didn't bother you?
It didn't bother me, no.
Didn't even think about it?
No.
Bothered me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
No, how about this? Since we're talking about things that are clearly bothersome, and since you brought up pedophilia and child abuse and all that sort of thing, we got to talk about this whole sexual harassment shit. We have to. Mm-hmm. Especially since it's now come to light.
Will you go to lunch?
Will you go to lunch, Kevin Spacey, without having to touch small boys or whatever the hell it was? Okay, look. It is now every day. Every goddamn day.
Well, this started... we've been off for a long time, but this all started less than a month ago.
With Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah. And then shortly on the heels of that was Kevin Spacey. Right?
Yes.
And a couple other people right around that time, producers and things like that. Yeah, there was also some accusations about Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah, to the point where Harvey Weinstein was forced out of his own company by his board.
Right.
He is apparently sending emails to everyone.
Removed from the Producers Guild.
Yes, and he was also...
that's a big one.
Sending emails to everyone saying, listen, I'll go to rehab. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. And they fell on deaf ears.
Right.
You made a comment the other night at poker with all of our friends, John, Jason, Jennifer, Josh, Larry, that was very, very interesting to me, but it makes a lot of sense. You will never see another Kevin Spacey movie.
No, I think it's over.
Done.
I think it's the kind of thing where we're going to see maybe in a few years, we're going to see Like, you're not even going to see Kevin Spacey interviews anymore.
Right.
I do think that probably in, you know, 4 or 6 years or something like that, you're going to get a 60 Minutes interview with him, and he's going to look different. He's going to have a beard or something like that, you know? Like, and he's going to be, you know, talking about this whole thing. And I'm not passing judgment on the guy. I'm just saying, I'm just standing back and looking at this whole situation, and I'm not the first person to say this.
Right.
Kevin Spacey's career is over.
Right.
It is over. He's not going to come back from this. He's not going to get cast in other things. This is not a Mel Gibson situation. I think this is over. And what made it worse was his reaction.
Hey, Kevin Spacey, you're being accused of fondling young boys and et cetera, et cetera.
I'm gay.
What?
Yeah. Well, what? Not only I'm gay. Like, yeah. Okay, first off, I'm gay. Number two, I don't remember this. Number three, it didn't happen. Number four, if it did happen, I was definitely drunk and I apologize. It's like the worst, like, just a murderer's row of the worst possible things you could say in a quote-unquote apology.
You know, for someone that's, say, an Oscar-winning actor and a noted thespian, you would think they would have a better improv.
Stay on book, buddy.
Yeah. Like, but also unprecedented because you also brought up another thing that I knew. So he was making a movie with Ridley Scott.
Made a movie.
There
the movie has a release date of December 22nd.
Holy shit. That's
And by the way, they say they're still going to meet it.
Really?
So he made a movie called All the Money in the World with Ridley Scott, Mark Wahlberg, Michelle Williams.
Okay.
We've seen a preview for this movie months ago. I think we talked about it even on the show perhaps.
Yeah.
He has a supporting role in the movie. It was like an 8 days shooting.
Okay.
But even in the preview, you can see that, like, he's got a lot of makeup. He's playing John Paul Getty or whatever, like, older person than Kevin Spacey. There's scenes in multiple locations. Well, they have cut him out of the movie. They hired Christopher Plummer to take over his part. They're going to reshoot some scenes with Christopher Plummer, including some scenes that involve Mark Wahlberg and Michelle Williams, who have been called to reshoot.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And they say they're still going to meet, today is what, November 13th, and they say they are still going to meet the December 22nd release date, which just blows my mind. It is fascinating. We're going to have a movie out there starring Christopher Plummer and Mark Wahlberg, of which there is a preview that shows an entirely different actor playing that part.
Yeah, I love it too. Well, I mean, you know.
He got fired from House of Cards too, a show we both love.
Jesus Christ, yeah, they're not going, like, We're halting production. We are 2 weeks into filming, presumably the final season of House of Cards.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the answer that you have. I'm gay. You're done.
Yeah,
you're out. Fortunately,
they're gonna write him out.
Very easy to do. He got assassinated. Ah, shit. Well, Claire, President Underwood. There you go.
It's gonna be hard to watch. I mean, the show was going downhill anyway.
See you instead of F you. However, I do find, like, it's none of this is funny because it's fucked up. It's very fucked up.
It's fucked up.
But then you've got articles like The Onion, entirety of Hollywood film industry replaced with 40,000 Christopher Plummers. It's like fucking Bugs Bunny, but instead on grip Christopher Plummer in director's chair Christopher Plummer executive director Christopher Plummer.
It is weird because it's every day. Like every day there's different accusations
every
coming
out. Every fucking day.
Every day there's a different person.
Louis C.K.
who we both love his TV show and have loved his stand up throughout the years.
Fuck.
And by the way, those stories about Louis C.K. we heard about in 2012, but there was a different atmosphere.
Let's go here. This is what I want. This is what I wanted to talk about because there's been jokes that he has made on stand-up, in his show.
About jerking off
in front of
episodes of his TV show have involved, you know, things
yes.
like that.
Jerkfest 2003, Fat Faggot Treat, whatever you want to call it. But all I know is that it doesn't excuse what he did, but it's kind of like throwing the signs out there. And then the whole thing where he's got this movie, which I was planning on watching, and now apparently it's not even going to be released anymore. I Love You, Daddy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's almost like Woody Allen-esque.
It feels very Woody Allen-esque, yeah.
It's about as copycat with all that thing as you can get. It's got a multitude of people in it. It looks
John Malkovich, Chloe Grace Moretz,
Charlie Day, and whoever. So,
and Louis C.K., star of the movie.
Yeah, and then this whole allegation comes out about him jerking off in front of women, like, back in the 90s.
Not allegations anymore.
Oh, no.
We should mention that Louis C.K. is the only person of all these people we're talking about, Harvey Weinstein, Dustin Hoffman, blah, 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 Kevin Spacey, who came out with a full-throated, pardon the term, you know, completely owned up to absolutely everything in it, apologized, you know, full face.
Apologized because he got caught or apologized for the act?
Oh, certainly. I think it can be both.
Yeah.
He apologized for the act, and he did apologize because he got caught. It's not a coincidence that his apology and his statement came out days after, this was brought up in national news again. Well, however,
I'm sure his attorney was trying to make sure that he was wording his statement carefully, though.
I gotta say, there are a couple things here, and I tread lightly because this environment is not very friendly to anybody who says anything other than these guys are fucking monsters and they should go away forever.
Well here, this my two questions. Is this the norm now?
Mm.
Are you okay with this norm now? Because I am. Anybody? Well, hey, wait. Look.
A couple things.
Look. Do you know how hard it is for a guy? Because it's been just guys. I don't know of any women that have been brought to the back of the wall for the firing squad to take their shot and everything. Do you know how hard it is for a man not to be creepy? And to anyone?
I do.
Nothing. Next to goddamn nothing. And that includes myself. I don't know about your experiences and everything. I've done and said creepy shit before. Not in the magnitude of this.
I was terrible in the single scene. Because I could not do things. I gotta say, like, this shit that Kevin Spacey did and this shit that Louis C.K. did and Harvey Weinstein, like, it's abuse. It's absolutely an abuse of power. Yeah. It's sexual misconduct, blah, blah, blah. Guess what else? Probably worked sometimes.
It probably did.
It probably worked. That's why they kept doing it.
Well,
I'm not saying that's right.
No, it isn't right.
That's why they kept doing it.
Right, but like even the whole thing, I had to have a conversation with my friend in England in regards to the nice guy thing, where I'm doing something nice. It would reciprocate back my niceness with this or that. Yeah, all that sort of thing. Buddy, it doesn't work that way. Trust me, I know.
No, it doesn't
fucking work that way.
Nice
and when
guys
it,
finish last.
No fucking shit, Green Day. So when it comes to that whole thing, you need to just go home and jerk off. Or go have a fucking drink. Or just fucking chill the fuck out. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
But all this shit that's happening now where everyone, like, fucking George Takei is being accused of shit
from
back in the day. I'm
but
like,
that's the thing. It is a slippery slope. We do have to say, okay, how far are we going to go back? What are we going to call monstrous versus what are we going to call inappropriate versus what are we going to just sort of roll our eyes at and walk away?
Right.
Because there is a spectrum.
Sure.
You have to admit that what, Roy Moore did, the senator from Alabama.
Oh, fucking hell with that shit.
With 14 and 15-year-old, like a 30-year-old man dating 14 and 15-year-old girls. I would put that in the same category as what Kevin Spacey did.
Of course.
Because that was a 14-year-old boy.
Right, only Kevin Spacey's not being exonerated by Joseph, Mary, and Jesus Christ as opposed to Senator Moore with this
bullshit. I'm just
saying,
in terms of what these guys did, there is a spectrum. Like, when you're talking about doing these things to a 14-year-old girl that... I gotta say, like, do we have to grade these things on a curve? Like, that is slightly worse than what Louis C.K. did. Again, is what Louis C.K. did acceptable?
No.
100% no.
Right.
It's wrong. Right. I would never do that. I did never do that. I could never do that.
Right.
I would not want that done to my wife or my mother or any woman that I don't know.
Right.
I don't want that shit done.
Well,
However, is it as bad as fucking a 14-year-old.
Fucking children, no.
Yeah,
absolutely not.
No, it's not.
And normally, in all the answers that have been brought before the general public and the mob, if you will, because it is kind of a mob mentality at this point.
No
like,
doubt.
There is the propensity for the accused to go, as a father of a daughter and all that, Ben Affleck did that and
it's
a couple
a
of other people.
Human reaction.
No, but you just did that. Like,
I did.
But you just did that, like, way, 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 way down the line. Whereas the other people, the people that have been in power, the people that get, pardon the colloquialism, mad pussy because they're a goddamn famous actor, director, producer, whomever, like, they start off with that shit.
Yeah.
No doubt. They're not taking into account, like, listen, it's a fucking creepo move. It shouldn't have happened. I use my shit in the exact wrong way. I'm sorry. But anybody, no matter where it's at, especially when it comes to fucking burlesque, by the way.
Look.
Because you're surrounded...
Because
look, you're surrounded by...
Where's the line?
There is no line.
There's no fucking line.
No, there's a fucking...
I'm going to take my clothes off and dance. You're going to come here and look at me and you're going to give me money and maybe I'll dance on you a little bit. And it's kind of funny when everybody... Maybe you're kind of dancing back and it's funny. And there's like this... There's no fucking line.
Listen, there's a fucking straight line. It's a hard goddamn line. If a fucking woman wants to walk down the goddamn street naked, like, she should be arrested for indecent exposure, but... She's not inviting anybody to do anything to her.
I don't know about that.
There's no fucking, no. There's no goddamn excuse. Like, if you need to, like, then go hump the fucking tailpipe of a cop car so he can arrest you and put you in the goddamn back seat, buddy. That's what you need to fucking
do. Jerk off into a potted plant in the privacy of your own apartment.
There you go.
Harvey Weinstein. I'm glad you said actors and directors and producers and all that. Because you know who hasn't? You know what group of guys has not been really sucked into this yet, and I think it's weird.
Is that
musicians?
Oh, no. Let's go into that.
Because
I was thinking about this today. You brought it up.
I brought it up because the other night, like, are we really going to go back in time now? Because that's what it seems like we're doing. We are going back in time. Are we going to go back and examine everything that Mick Jagger ever did to a woman? Are we going to examine everything that Robert Plant and all the guys from Led Zeppelin ever did to women? And then are we going to at that point decide I can no longer listen to Led Zeppelin? I can no longer listen to the Rolling Stones. I can't listen to David Bowie. I can't listen to this shit anymore.
You can't listen to David Bowie. You can't listen to Guns N' Roses. He fucking beat the shit out of like supermodel looking women. Like they're fucking like all these women. And he fucking like beat the shit out of them and his own fans.
No doubt. It pertains to Louis C.K. Can we listen to Sam Kinison anymore? When's the last time you heard a fucking Sam Kinison album?
It's fucking rough toward women. You like that? You like that country grammar album? You like Nelly? Didn't he fucking rape some like young girl?
Sure.
Like Mystical? You want to fucking like talk about Shake Your Ass, Watch Yourself? He's a two-time convicted rapist, served prison time for that shit. Hey, you want to talk about Mike Tyson? Oh my gosh, he's so funny. He was in The Hangover, convicted rapist. You want to talk about Michael Stipe and REM? Like, I'm walking through Athens, right? I'm hanging out with my friend Beth at the time. We're like, you know, hanging out and all sort of thing. And hey, that's Michael Stipe's house. Yeah, that's the allegation, is that he, you know, gets like young college students and boys to like go over there and all sort of thing. I'm like, motherfucker, really?
Really? Are there Michael Stipe accusations now?
Hey, man.
What a shame.
Everyone.
But
and
again,
anyone.
Like, so what are we going to do? You got to fucking come. What are we going to do?
Don't make.
This shit comes out.
Don't make your heroes these people. Make your heroes the fucking doctors of the world. The fucking...
Doctors do that shit too! That's the thing! That's what we're learning!
Everything is awful all the time and everybody sucks. That's basically what it is.
If we start picking at this scab, we're gonna end up with fucking... Jesus. With a skeleton here pretty soon.
Jesus, I was like, oh, okay, doctors. Yeah, you made a good point. What about teachers? Fuck, remember Jason Argo? Oh shit, I fucking cheated on my wife because I was having a terrible thing with my marriage and I slept with my 16-year-old student.
Oh god, I forgot about
and
that.
And now you're serving 10, 12 years in prison.
Is he really? I didn't know that.
Oh yeah. He's getting butt-fucked right now, and he deserves it because, listen, don't fuck children.
No,
I'm sorry.
I agree.
Don't fuck children.
I agree 100%, but here's my thing. Yeah. I gotta say, yeah. I do feel like we need to have, like, a fucking statute of limitations on this or some shit.
Right.
Like, we can't... I'm not gonna be able to erase the Rolling Stones from my iPod. Like, I'm not gonna be able to do it.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna be able to erase it. Oh, then what? I can't watch Goodfellas anymore? Because they used a Rolling Stones song? Where does it end?
I don't know, man.
I don't fucking know.
I don't know.
I think we need to, like, seriously, we got to deal with this situation the way that parents do. We got to be like, all right, from this point forward, nobody whips their dick out at anybody unless somebody asks you to whip your dick out.
Listen, that's
okay. And I rarely say that to my children.
I'm going to tell, this is the best example. The best example that I've read in recent time was from our mutual friend, Brian Alvear. Brian Alvear, by the way, sweet, sweet guy.
Currently arguing with all the nerds on the internet about which series you would get rid of.
I don't know.
DC or Lord of the Rings.
I don't even...
It's a huge fucking nerdgasm between him and Tokyo Bell and all these people online.
I don't even know about that. I don't care. He's very, very free when it comes to sexuality. Good for him.
Fluid.
Yeah, very fluid. Yeah, so many
Lots of fluids.
So many fluids. But he's like... He's the first one to say, listen, don't whip your dick out and start jerking off in front of people. Comment one. Comment two. Unless they ask. Comment three. Then jerk away. There you go. Consent is always sexy. There you go.
Yeah, well, consent is sexy, but you know what? Like, I couldn't do any of these things. But again, I go back to the point that in some of these cases, it worked. It's probably some women that got turned on by Louis C.K. You know, we got five accusations out here. And again, please don't misunderstand me.
Yeah.
I consider this behavior wrong. I could never do it.
Right.
I would never do it.
Right.
I condemn it. However, it probably worked from time to time.
Yeah.
There's probably some chicks who were turned on by it. oh, Louis C.K. whipped his dick out at me, or, you know,
fear, manipulation, power trip, or a combination of all three.
Sure.
Yeah.
In one way or another.
Yeah.
And these are chicks that are not coming forward, because maybe they did enjoy
it. Fucking guys, too, by the way. Like
guys,
George Takei, Kevin Spacey, fucking, what's his name, Anthony,
Anthony Rapp, yeah. These guys didn't enjoy it, and that's why you can't do it, because you can't just walk around doing it, because, okay, some enjoy it, some don't. But that's why they kept doing it, because it worked in some cases. Again, not excusing it, not making excuses for it at all. It's wrong, I condemn it. But that's the explanation. Yeah. That's, again, going forward.
That is
everyone! Dicks in pants, do not remove them, unless, you know, I mean, you gotta look at the situation.
Dude, but,
look. Has she asked me to take my penis out? Like, we're gonna get to a point where it's gonna be contracts and, like...
Look. Not a one time. This is the plight. This is the plight of the fucking woman in general. Is that I haven't heard of once. Like, don't whip your tits out. Don't whip your pussy out. Don't whip your ass out.
Oh, no, there was allegations today against Bijou Phillips from the kid from Mean Girls.
Oh shit! Really?
What was that kid's name? I forget that guy's name. But he was in Bully with Bijou Phillips.
Yeah.
The Larry Clark movie. Mm-hmm. And. He's accusing her of, you know, like, doing all sorts of shit instead of that movie.
Well, fuck. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
And if they ask and they say no, then you need to fucking walk away, whoever the fuck it is. Man, woman, vegetable or mineral, for fuck's sake. Like, how hard is this shit?
I agree.
You've heard our opinion on The Real Thing on MoreLikeRadio.com. And so, let's, a couple more things. Apparently, we are... 10 minutes out before the end. We want to keep this under an hour because otherwise this truly would be a 4.5-hour show.
Yeah, but it could easily turn into that.
For conciseness sake, I do want to bring up one movie that I'm finally able to say that I hashtag finally watched. And I'm only bringing this up. I would bring up Blazing Saddles in History of the World Part 1. Blazing Saddles, funny as fuck, still holds up 40 plus years later. It will never, ever, ever be remade just because of the fact of all the shit that's in it. But it's so fucking funny.
No, yeah, you can't remake that. It would be impossible.
Mongo only card. Mongo only, what is it?
I don't know the quote.
Shit. Mongo only pawn in Game of Life.
Full disclosure, I am not the biggest Blazing Saddles fan. Like, I've seen it, I think it's funny, but it's not... Like,
that's funny. History of the World Part 1, and we watched it, Buttercup Sunset, right behind you, just walked in from work, and we watched History of the World during Hurricane Irma. Yes, folks, we did survive Hurricane Irma. You are not seeing this or hearing this post-apocalyptic style, but my God, it's good to be the king. So fucking funny, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, this shit's still going on. It's 16 plus minutes of the Inquisition. Ju-ju-ju-ju-ju-ju-ju-ju. That's never going to get made again either.
No, I don't think they're going to remake any of this.
No.
Stuff. I don't think they can do it.
But the
best Mel Brooks movie.
Young Frankenstein.
Yeah, Young Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
Worst.
I was going to have to come over this table. Again.
Worst Mel Brooks movie.
Oof. Dracula Dead and Loving. I got to say. I think fucking Spaceballs is worse.
I was going to say, like, I wanted you to bring that up because you were also talking about that during the poker game.
Spaceballs isn't fucking funny. Like, the jokes are just flat. They don't work at all.
It's interesting for you to say that because I also know what a huge Star Wars fan / nerd that you are, and that's in the same vein.
Look, I grew up a Star Wars fan, and there's that little child inside of me still buys tickets for Star Wars movies. Yeah. That's not to say that I've been truly, like, blown away by a Star Wars movie since I was 4 years old. You know, like, it just hasn't happened.
Right.
But, yeah, I am a Star Wars fan. But Spaceballs is not funny.
But because the movie based on the book, based on the making of this movie, is coming out next month, The Disaster Artist, with James Franco and Seth Rogen. And I did see The Room, and oh my God, this is the worst movie that I've ever seen.
I gotta watch this before The Disaster Artist, because I've only ever seen YouTube compilation clips and shit.
Jesus goddamn Christ.
I mean, you think I should watch the movie?
You should watch it, but you should watch it with the riff tracks exclusively.
Oh, not watch it and then watch the riff tracks?
No. No. Because you won't get through it. You will not get through it.
Yeah, probably.
I'm looking at this movie, and there are so many things wrong with it. And listen, she's shaking her head. Yes, she's shaking her head. Yes, as I'm saying all this stuff.
The Disaster Artist preview looks like a good fucking movie.
It's really fucking funny.
But they're making him into this, like, hero.
He is hero. Yes, he is. But let me tell you something. Couple things. So, we're football fans, right? We're football fans. We love the Bucks. The Bucks suck. Whatever they want.
I'm not sure you can call that football. But well, yes, we love the Bucks.
Sure. So, why would you bring a football to throw on a rooftop in New York? Why? Why would you do that? To bond with your friend.
Because you don't actually throw football.
You don't know how to throw a goddamn football. That's right. Number two, listen, full disclosure, Chris, because Wham-Wham's will tell you, Buttercup Sensei will tell you, I'm a fucking huge pervert, and I will watch people fuck. I have no problem admitting that. Yeah, porn, whatever, watching people fuck. There is too much fucking in this movie.
Really?
Really?
I didn't realize there was that much fucking in this movie.
Oh, in the first 30 minutes. I had no idea. In the first 30 minutes of this movie, so unnecessary, so awkward, so... Really? Why? Why would you... Okay, again? You're repeating the same scene from before. Like, they're literally taking the same footage from the first and second and third scenes for this new one. And a lot of his ass. I don't want to see his ass anymore. Tommy Wiseau, you are hero. You are not... You are ass also.
Well, that's like... Yeah. That's a sign of, like, amateur filmmaking right there. Because remember, you and I made a short movie together that was, like, 7 minutes long or something like that.
Compared to that, your film that you submitted, which, by the way, you got an A, by the way, so good
on
you.
I did get an A, yes, you did. Actually won best film for that project.
You would still win best film compared to this fucking bullshit, because this, man, this movie...
Well, no, all I'm saying is the reusing of footage and trying to make it look like a different shot is, like, when you're an amateur filmmaker and you don't have other people helping you out, you don't realize on the set that you... There is a shot that you need that you do not have.
Right.
You don't realize it until you're editing it together.
Like, oh, shit.
36 hours later. And it's like, well, what am I going to get all these people back together and get the sunlight at the exact same moment and get this reset? You don't have it. You got to make it work. And
right.
That's amateur filmmaking right there. But that's the whole thing about The Room, is that it's just the worst amateur screenwriting and acting and filmmaking of all time, right? I mean, that's the appeal of this movie to so many people for so long.
There's appeal.
There is appeal. Look, I've never even seen the thing, and I've probably spent an hour watching YouTube clips of the movie because it's so terrible.
It is incoherent. It's incoherent just by in and of itself, but with the riff tracks, it makes it tolerable. I'm going to tell you that. And actually, who suggested for me to watch the movie with the riff tracks was Royce and Marie, who are obviously stars and co-hosts of the Hippo Juice show, which you can always catch on Wednesdays at 7.
They do a show every 5 months too, right?
No, they still do their shows. In fact, I think they've got a new show this week.
Of course they do. I'm being facetious.
Oh, of course.
They're professionals.
They're definitely more professional than we are. And so, yeah, watch The Room on Riff Tracks.
I will.
You have to.
You have to
so that you can share in this pain that I am otherwise...
I want to see it before I see The Disaster Artist, because I feel like a lot's going to be lost on you if you haven't seen that.
It's so fucking funny. It's so unintentionally funny, especially all the stunted... Like, when you watch that and then watch the trailer for The Disaster Artist again, the extended one, not the, what is the line? I did not hit her, I did not hit her, oh, hi, Mark. Watch the other one, and then you will understand, like, oh, now I really got to see The Disaster Artist.
You know why the character's name is Mark? Did you see that?
No.
I read that he named the character Mark because he'd recently seen Good Will Hunting. And, you know, I mean... He thought that the actor's name...
Why?
He thought that the actor's name was Mark Damon. So he named the character Mark after Mark Damon. Who is not a real actor. Of course, it's Matt Damon. But he's such a fuck-up that he named the character Mark. Yeah.
Shit.
I know.
All right, well...
hang on. We gotta talk about Thor. Wait, see Thor.
No, I didn't see Thor, but that's what we're leaving off with. I don't want to end with The Room. I can't end with The Room. We have to talk about our
talk amongst yourselves.
We're Linda Richmond on The Real Thing on morelikeradio.com. Mormon Tabernacle is neither Mormon nor Tabernacle discussed, but we will talk about Thor Ragnarok, which is nowhere Thor nor Ragnarok, but it is our 2-time box office winner these past 2 weekends. Chris saw it. Chris, come on.
I took the whole family to see it. I was going to use my fucking movie pass, but we got there and it was sold out. The only thing left was D-Box seats, so I had to buy 4 D-Box seats. Let me tell you, when you have to buy 4 primetime tickets for your family for a movie on a Saturday night, it's expensive as shit. When you have to buy D-Box seats, shit was like $60.
$60, make me holler.
$60. But Thor had already been out for, I don't know, a week and a half or something like that, and it was... course, it's got, whatever, a 90-something percent rating on Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah. Everybody seemed to love it. There was a lot of people saying it's one of the best Marvel movies that has yet been made.
Okay, now, and
made a shitload of money.
Preface, you've seen the other two Thor movies.
I have seen the other two Thor movies.
Okay.
And I thought they were both fine.
Okay.
You know, like, the run-of-the-mill superhero movies. A little bit serious. Both the Thor movies are a little bit kind of on the serious side.
Yeah, like, I've seen the first one. I never saw Dark World. This one intrigued me a little bit because of how fun the trailer was.
Clearly going for a comedy angle here. I read Waika Taititi, the guy who made What We Do in the Shadows,
right,
which you saw.
Yes.
And liked. And yes. I saw and liked.
Yes.
Kind of one of those Christopher Guest sort of improvisational comedies, but yeah. This one is about these sort of ancient vampires living in an apartment together in New Zealand.
Right.
In Auckland or yeah. someplace.
And his new, in his upcoming movie in that same track is about werewolves, and what's it called?
It's called We're Wolves. Yeah. The contraction. We are wolves. We're wolves. There's a lot of accent humor with New Zealand stuff. Like
we're wolves.
Yeah.
Our friend Appletini is actually going to New Zealand on December 8th. She's going to be there for 2 weeks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Envious.
Yeah, so we're gonna have to tell her about, what's his name?
So, based on that movie,
yeah.
What We Do in the Shadows,
yeah.
This guy was handed the reins to a... whatever, you know, $250 million budget or however fucking expensive this movie is. I don't know how expensive it was, but...
Let's find out what you're talking about.
A huge blockbuster tentpole Marvel sequel, you know, third entry into the Thor franchise.
Okay.
17th entry into the Marvel universe. And I gotta say, knocks it out of the fucking park in terms of, like, in terms of Marvel movies. Like, this ranks among the more enjoyable ones that I've seen.
Nice.
I read that it is 80% improvised. That's what Waika Taititi said. Like, they had a script.
Yeah.
But there was about 80% of the final dialogue in the movie was improvised.
Really?
And it does play that way. There's okay. quite a bit of it that plays like them just sort of riffing off of each other. And it fucking works. And there is a lot of humor in this movie that you wouldn't expect. Like, there's jerk-off humor and stuff like that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
A couple of jerk-off jokes. Like, there's a lot of actors playing against type, a lot of actors flexing sort of comedic muscles, talking about Chris Hemsworth and, you know, because, of course, like, the Loki character's always been kind of a...
Yeah,
he's kind of a jester, you know, I mean, almost.
Tom, like, Hiddleston.
Yeah, he's like the god of mischief, you yeah. know, so it's lots of, like... creepy smiles and jokes and things like yeah. that.
Your Hiddles, my Hiddles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Thor is not necessarily who you think of, Chris Hemsworth or Odin, you know, Anthony Hopkins when it comes to comedy, or Hulk or Mark Ruffalo, and then yeah. they bring in, you know, Goldblum play this yeah. Grandmaster, and Waika Taititi, the director. The whole thing creates this atmosphere where the movie feels way more like a comedy than it does like an action movie.
Okay.
And there is action, and it cuts back to some... They sort of have to get to the business of the storyline of what's going on in Asgard and things like that. And so when that happens, the movie kind of shifts into that comic book superhero movie gear. But then it very quickly, almost always, never stays in that gear for more than 3 minutes. It shifts back into comedy. And it works from soup to nuts. It is a funny movie.
Your budget for this is $180 million.
Yeah.
It is already made. $180
million budget based on a movie that was probably $5 million, maybe.
It has already made $431 million.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
But now, okay, see, now you're talking about that whole improvisation concept for the script and how it was shot and all that sort of thing. And I almost, like, you know, okay, think about it. So you've got a comic book movie. You've got it's obviously based off of a comic book, and that whole storyline where you've got a superhero and you've got conflict and you've got a arch villain, arch nemesis, and they've got to destroy this and you save the girl and all that sort of thing. That's like 8 steps, tops. So there really isn't the need for it to be. You know, like, all, like, super serious and everything. And this is obviously as a result of, you know, Dark Knight and Chris Nolan and that whole reboot where everybody has to be fucking serious. Like, Justice League is coming out this week. I would be really interested. In fact, I'm going to do this. I'm going to watch Thor Ragnarok tomorrow. And then I'm going to go see Justice League this weekend, because you can't hate on right. something unless you actually watch it. And I'm going to see
Yeah, I'm going to see Justice League.
Oh, of course.
What's interesting about Thor Ragnarok, and really, what they're following here is the Guardians of the Galaxy model.
Right.
And the Deadpool model. Okay. Which is Marvel being smart, or Fox in the case of Deadpool, and saying what the sort of sentiment that's in the air about superhero movies after they've been around for 10 or 15 years is, we're kind of getting tired of it. Like, yeah. They're still making money, but there was a lot of sentiment out there in reviews and things like that of people saying, you know, with Avengers Age of Ultron and things like that, people saying, it's just like, I get numb.
It's a slog. Like, it's a slog.
It's a slog.
Especially if you're spending $60 on D-Box seats.
At a certain point, there's 30-minute sequences in the movie where it's just these CGI creatures running around destroying things, and it's tough to watch because I don't care. I'm fucking, like, Charlie Sheen's coke-dusted dickhead, I'm numb. Like, I'm just like, I can't feel anything.
Yeah.
Like, and I think Marvel smartly with Guardians of the Galaxy and then Fox smartly with Deadpool, and part of that is they kind
of
had to with those titles.
Of course.
Had to take a comedic angle because those are comedic properties.
Right.
But they smartly, again, we hire guys like Josh Trank and we don't let him do what he wants to do with the Fantastic Four. Or we hire some other. You know, Star Wars hires Phil Lord and Chris Miller and then doesn't let them do what those guys do with the Han Solo movie.
Right.
This is a case where Marvel says, okay, we want Waika Titi because he can bring one thing to this property. And Marvel smartly allowed him to do what he does.
Right,
and it's paid off.
But they're also a separate studio in them of themselves now because they've been, you know, diversified from the... Whoever the distribution company was before.
Right.
I just know that it's now Marvel Studios now, and they've been making fucking bank ever since. In fact, that's interesting that you bring that up, because now you've got Rian Johnson, he's developing a new Star Wars trilogy.
Right.
And they're going on and on about how, I know they're going to bring this to the franchise and that to the franchise. It's all going to be the same. It doesn't matter, no matter what.
But
there's talk now about Fox, with the exception of Fox News, being bought out by Disney, so that presumably if you have Fox being absorbed by Walt Disney, who now owns Marvel, they would also have X-Men. They would have the Fantastic Four. They would be able to bring all those fucking players together in order to make whatever the hell that they want.
But Star Wars needs to look at this. Star Wars, of all people, needs to look at Thor.
Yeah.
Because Star Wars brought in Garth Johnson or whatever his fucking name was to make Rogue One.
Garth Edwards. Yeah.
Okay, so they bring in this up-and-coming sort of singular mind director, like very specific kind of movies that he makes.
Yeah, he made the Godzilla remake.
He made the Monsters movie called Monsters prior to that.
Yeah, yeah.
So you bring this guy in to make Rogue One. Why? You like what he does. So you get him on set, you don't allow him to do what he does. You want him to make your fucking McDonald's cheeseburger, because every McDonald's cheeseburger has to taste exactly alike, like every Star Wars movie has to feel exactly alike.
Yeah.
Star Wars needs to learn a lesson, and they do the exact same thing with Phil Lord and Chris Miller on the Han Solo movie.
Right.
You bring in these guys because you thought they could bring a different flavor to your product, and when they do exactly that, you say, hey, you're putting a different flavor on our product.
Right.
But Thor was not a comedic property. Marvel smartly decided, okay, we're going to take a chance, we're going to let somebody bring a different flavor and put it on this property. And it worked. The first three Thor movies are like the least comedic movies of all the 17 Marvel movies that have been made so far. They're very dull and serious and slogs. And Star Wars needs to take a page out of this book, because this has paid off in spades. It's breathed energy into the Thor franchise. Now my wife's excited about the next Thor movie. Do you think that was the case beforehand? I mean, other than just looking at Thor's fucking muscular body, like...
Oh, well, I mean...
No, I mean, like, this was actually an enjoyable movie
for her. Part for the course, and Buttercup Sunset is shaking her head, yes, as far as Chris Hemsworth's body. However, I'll say this.
He's fucking ripped. Like,
I'm sure he is. He's always fucking ripped.
More ripped, I'm telling you. They do a 360-degree shot around his body, around his shirtless body in this movie.
How the fuck does that guy own a shirt? Like, if I looked like him, I would never own a goddamn shirt ever. I wouldn't. There would be no necessity for it. Like, the Italian styling from Moxie LaFemme.
It's weird when you're standing next to the Hulk and everyone's, like, remarking at your physique.
Yeah, or fucking Panda Boy from Moxie LaFemme as well. I'll give you this. So, you're giving out all these ideas. Yeah, they need to take a fucking page from Thor and Marvel and all that sort of thing. My counter... Does it fucking matter? Because here's what it is that they're going to fucking buy the tickets anyway. They've got Star Wars Land coming out in the next 2 years over in downtown Orlando. Who gives a shit?
I think it does matter in a case like Thor. Like, if you look at box office numbers for Thor 1, and then Thor 2.
Yeah.
It's like Thor 1 comes out of the gate. I don't know the exact numbers, but I'm just going to spitball it here and say Thor 1 made $350 million.
Okay.
Thor 2 makes $300 million. Now, you can make another one of those. You can get Kenneth Branagh or one of the Game of Thrones directors and make another super serious Thor movie. Or you can turn that project on its head, get Waika Titi in there. And by the way, I don't know if I'm saying his name right. It might be Waika Titi for all I know, or pronounced completely differently. But either way, you bring in this other guy.
Yeah.
Now you have completely turned that franchise on its head. You were losing money anyway. This would probably have been your last Thor movie if you made another one like that. So you take a wild swing, and now you've got another franchise that is reinvigorated. People are excited about Thor movies again. People weren't even excited about Thor movies the last two Thor movies you made. Now they actually are.
Thor made $450 million when it came out in 2011. Thor 2, The Dark World, made $644 million.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
There goes that theory.
Yeah.
So it's hard to believe. Are you looking at domestic and then worldwide box office there?
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Either way, as you said, you saw the first Thor movie. You did not see the second Thor movie.
No, because I was fucking bored. I was bored with the first one.
First one was boring. I think that's why it's so hard for me to believe those numbers you just read to me. I mean, I believe that you're reading them right, but I'm like Hudson in fucking Aliens. Well, you're not reading it right! But that franchise was dying.
Yes. Yeah.
No one was interested in a third Thor movie until the preview came out and looked at all these...
colorful as shit. These
colorful...
They're in the fucking arena. Thor's, like, coming out. Hulk busts through the goddamn wall.
You got the fucking Immigrant Song from Led Zeppelin.
Yeah!
I know. It's exciting.
And then they introduced Jeff Goldblum. I'm like, oh, fuck.
Oh, no. You had me at Goldblum.
Well, now I'm gonna have to fucking watch this shit. So yeah, of course. Now I'm definitely gonna watch it.
Star Wars needs to take a cue from this. You hire somebody because they make a particular kind of product.
Yeah.
There was a reason you hired them in the first place. Let them do what they do. And it can pay off.
Well, I hope they heed your call, Chris.
I hope so, too, because Star Wars is in the Thor situation right now. Wouldn't you say? Like, aren't you less and less interested every time a Star Wars movie comes out?
I mean, I'm not hyped up like, okay, look. It's supposed to come out in, what, 30, 40 days, and they're already selling tickets? And it's going to make money. It's going to make so much goddamn money. It's going to make more money than money than The Force Awakens, but...
I'm not necessarily talking about the trilogy movies. I'm talking about the Rogue Ones and the Han Solos and the Boba Fett movies and stuff like that.
Right.
It was we all agreed. Like, you're making a Han Solo movie. Han Solo is sort of light and funny and sarcastic. Hiring Chris Miller and Phil Lord...
Perfect.
...was the most perfect choice you could have made.
And then you flake out.
You flake out because it didn't feel like a Star Wars movie. We all know that's what happened.
Right.
We all know that's exactly what happened.
Right.
But you should have stuck to your guns because it would have been... That's what it would have been.
And you know how much I hate flaking out.
You do hate flaking out. That's right.
Yeah. So, I mean, at the very least, stick to your convictions. There's a reason why you hired them and, you know, hopefully they'll... take advantage of that. And so, I will let you know, and you will let me know, presumably, what you think of Justice League when we do see it on our next show. For now,
Justice League comes out this weekend?
This weekend.
I'm going to be in Colorado, but...
Okay, we'll get super high, allegedly, and watch Justice League. And you can follow us, ladies and gentlemen. Follow us on Twitter. We are The Real Thing, TheRealThingMLR. You can follow us on Facebook. Finally, #finally, we have a show to post up.
Woohoo!
For your listening pleasure, Jason Chichula, other people of that sort. So please, please, please follow all the shows on morelikeradio.com. And I'm hoping that we're still in the same time slot. But if we are, Hippo Juice is coming up next. We will leave you, Chris, since you pointed it out, with Immigrant Song by Led Zeppelin. And so, Chris Wetton, as always. A pleasure. See me in 4 months. Mark Nixon, signing. Thank you very much.